Hey everyone, it's Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart. And you're about to watch or listen to the full interview that I recorded with Neil Patel. In this interview, we talk about different ways that you can grow your site's traffic, and we get as specific as possible in the techniques that Neil talks about. Neil also uses websites that were submitted before and during the interview to illustrate his point. So we're not just giving you techniques that are theories, we're taking those techniques, making them concrete by applying them to websites that people who watch this interview submitted to us, and people who read Mixergy submitted to us before the interview. All right, we also talk about how Neil grew his different businesses, and I think we've got some really interesting stories about how he got his clients. And finally, we talk about why Neil Patel arm wrestles women at conferences. I thought that was kind of interesting, and so I asked him about that too. So who's Neil Patel? Neil Patel is the co-founder of a consulting company called ACS, which we talk about in this interview. ACS helped websites grow their traffic. He is also the co-founder of a site called Crazy Egg, which allows webmasters to see what's happening with their traffic on the websites, where people are going, what they're doing on their websites. And finally, he is the co-founder of a site called Kissmetrics, which is going to be launching soon, which will also help websites take control of their metrics. And I asked him a little about that. If you want to learn more about Neil, check out his personal blog, quicksprout.com, where you can find out about his experiences in business. All right, that's a whole lot to tell you about him, but he's done a lot, and he continues to do a lot. And we also refer to those businesses in this interview, so I wanted to make sure to set that up for you. All right, with that introduction, here's my interview with Neil Patel. Neil, the first thing I want to do is explain to people why they should listen to you when it comes to traffic. Why I brought you on here, why I've been promoting this so much. So let's start off by talking about ACS. And the reason I want to start off with ACS is I read your blog, and on your about page you said that from ACS you were rolling in dough. So let's first find out what ACS is and then what it does.
So ACS was an internet marketing consulting company. Just helped a lot of internet companies, whether it's from the TechCrunches or the cheeseburger blogs, all the way to normal sites that are like in the 2.0 space, like Zimbra or Flickster, and all the way up to like Fortune 1000, like General Motors, right? So what we did is we helped companies get more traffic from the internet, and more so try to get more revenue from the internet. Because at the end of the day, if you're getting a million visitors a day, but you're not making a single dollar, what's the point?
So a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is how you got traffic for those sites, but I'd love to hear a little bit about how you helped them get revenue. What kind of work did you do for them on the revenue side?
So I didn't do too much on the monetization side. I was figuring out what keywords and what sources of traffic were making them the most money. Mm-hmm. And then from there, what I would do is try to get them more traffic from those sources. And then on top of that, I would look at the conversion data. So what's converting in their design, what's not, A/B testing, things of that nature, and try to modify the design to maximize conversions.
I see. So for you, it was all about figuring out where the valuable traffic was coming from and then growing that traffic.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, if it's not valuable traffic that's converting, what's the point of even having it?
Okay. And you talked about – actually, let's go back in history before we dig deeper into the work that you did. It seems like the first place where you made money was by selling pirated software in school. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, so when I started high school, my first year, I started making money. I was like, all right, you know, people are liking Eminem and a few of these rap artists and stuff. And I wasn't the hippest kid, so I didn't even know who the hell half these people were. But I was like, whoa, people are trying to get like the new Eminem CD and they're trying to pay for it, right? And it's not out. I'm like, oh, I can go on Napster and download it. And I started doing it, and I had a burner. It was like a 2x burner, so it was really slow. And I had big spindles, like 100 CD spindles, so it's like I had tons of blank CDs. I'm like, crap, I have it, let's say, a month before it's coming out. I started burning them, and I started selling them at school, you know, for a few dollars or $5. And I would package them. I put them in a little Ziploc bag. and I would be like, hey, and I would write on it and pretty much, you know, just sell it. It was a numbers game at that point. But I used to do anything I could get a hold of, right? From pirated CDs to pirated DVDs that I bought from Malaysia, from eBay. I had like 200-300 confiscated by customs. And like, do you want to claim this? You can go to court over it. I'm like, nah, you can have them. And I even used to do black boxes. I sold quite a bit of black boxes, like, you know, to get illegal cable and porn and all that kind of stuff to a lot of the students' parents. So I was making money off the parents as well.
You know, one of the reasons I wanted to ask you about that is because it shows the kind of attitude that you have now about business. You're willing to do whatever it takes. Now, I've got a lot of biographies here behind me of people who've hit incredible successes in business. All of them, I think, have done something similar to what you're talking about, work the shady part of business, but they've kept it quiet. They keep it out of their autobiographies, but if you dig into their biographies written by other people, then you hear those stories. The reason I'm asking you this is, why aren't you hiding this stuff? Aren't you worried that you're going to hurt your reputation in the future?
Not really. I think probably arm wrestling girls hurts my reputation a bit more. But nonetheless, I'm not as successful as half the people on your bookshelf, right? Some of those guys have made hundreds of millions of dollars. So probably if I ever get there, and I hope I do, I would probably remove all this stuff from my biography as well, right? But for now, it's building credibility and it's getting me more people. See, the times have changed on the web in which being upfront, telling people what you did in the past, actually in many cases helps you get more of a following than if you left a lot of that stuff out. And that's the main reason that I actually tell people about it. I want more followers, I want more people, you know, representing the Neil Patel brand. So
I see. And the more you tell people about how you game Twitter, how you sold pirated CDs, the more they get excited, the more they talk about you, and the more credibility it gives you because you're the guy who knows the inside stuff that you're not supposed to talk about.
Exactly, right? So everyone has to have their angle. And going the normal route that everyone else is going, there's not much that separates me, or that I feel at least that separates me. Yeah, I'm young. I was a young entrepreneur that did okay. But now there's tons of young entrepreneurs that are making money, right? When I was young, it was a different story. There weren't as many. So the thing is, like, what other angles can I use to keep on building up my brand? And one of those things is just being upfront about my past and telling people what I'm doing, so, and how I actually got to where I am today.
All right, we've got a lot of people who are watching us live and on Twitter too. I want to ask you guys who are watching us, do you think he should be talking about this? And the reason I ask is I know that I talked about how I returned my stuff to J. Crew after I wore it so that I can get a refund from J. Crew, which is what I used to fund my business. And I got a lot of praise from it, but I also caught a lot of flack. Was I right to talk about that? Is Neil right to talk about how he pirated software? If you're watching us live, I'd love to get your feedback on it, especially you, Ben. I know that you've had some opinions about that to me by email. All right, let's go into some of the clients that you mentioned earlier. TechCrunch. I see to this day when I go to TechCrunch, one of the top blogs, I see a link to your personal blog. What did you do to TechCrunch that you got that free link?
So I pretty much helped them with their organic SEO traffic. So I got them more Google juice, increased it quite a bit, and I never really charged them for the services. They were willing to pay. They had no problem in dishing out the cash. But I was like, I don't want your money. And they're like, what can we do for you? I didn't really care for the link at that point, too. I was just looking for more traffic, more readers, more followers. So I'm like, all right, if I have my logo on TechCrunch, then it's going to start driving more traffic and more readers to me and hopefully build a following. So.
And that's why you asked them to work for them, right? You reached out to them specifically because you said, if I could prove to them that I'm good at getting traffic, they will link back to me and it'll make my credibility, right?
It was more so than that. So the original deal I had was, I've been working with TechCrunch for around 2 years. And I pitched them roughly a year before that. So 3 years ago, I pitched TechCrunch saying, hey, I can help all your SEO traffic and increase it and blah, blah, blah. And it took a while. Like, they said, great, thanks, we'll implement it. They never really did. They didn't really hit me up or they didn't care that much. And then I started working with, like, Read Write Web, Mashable, a few of the other of their competitors. They saw their traffic increase, and then they hit me back up again saying, hey, yeah, we would like to do engagement, right? So my original deal was not really for the links. I wanted the branding, and I wanted revenue out of it. So Michael's well-known in the VC space. So what I ended up doing was I said, hey, Michael, I'm going to grow your traffic. Whatever results you get in 2 weeks, and I'm not going to mention the percentages, but it was really drastic. I said, send a mass email out to all your VC friends. So Michael sent out an email to people like Josh Kopelman from First Round, who was a founder of Half.com before that. And he said, hey, look what Neil did with my traffic. He's awesome, right? And he sent that out to quite a few VCs. And what ended up happening is those VCs mass emailed all their portfolio companies saying, go hire Neil. And go hire ACS, and that's how my business grew. So that was the main way I leveraged Michael. It's like, the link is great, and I do appreciate them linking to me, but that wasn't the main thing I wanted from Michael. It was his connections.
And you can't say how much you grew his traffic within 2 weeks, but can you give us a sense of how effective you were for TechCrunch?
Yeah, so overall, it had a really big impact, as in, Over the course of 2 years, I've more than doubled or tripled at least his search engine traffic, if not a lot more, so.
And that's why there's a link to your site from TechCrunch.
Yep, and a lot of that, let's just say, was brought within the first 2 weeks. So then they're like, whoa, crazy growth, right? Probably some of the craziest growth that they've seen. And they're really happy. And Michael and Heather, the CEO there at TechCrunch, they're great. They like taking care of their consultants and people that work with them, so.
So, can you give us one or two things that you did to TechCrunch to jack up their traffic?
Yeah, sure. So keep one thing in mind, right? I can't jack up traffic on a shitty site. Now, I probably can, but it's not sustainable. The reason TechCrunch did really well in getting more traffic is they already did the hard part. The hard part was writing good content, getting a lot of people to link to them, getting on Dig, Delicious, all these social sites a lot. They were already a viral site that people were talking about, and they were already doing well. It was pretty much, I just cleaned up the website code. WordPress was a bit messy back then, and it still is, now. Cleaned a few things up, like their title tags, removed TechCrunch from the inner pages. I also added meta description tags so all their pages would seem unique. I nofollowed things like privacy policies, the feed burner links, things of that nature, controlled more of their juice, and their traffic started going up. So it's pretty much I did the house cleaning items that should have been done on most blogs. And the reason TechCrunch had great traffic increases is because they're already a popular blog.
Let's go into some of those before we continue with the conversation. You helped them with their title tags. What specifically did you do there?
Sure. So one big thing that actually helped them drastically increase their traffic was I removed the word TechCrunch from internal pages. So now it's just the title tag on internal post pages is just the post title. So it doesn't say post title dash TechCrunch. It just says post title now.
I see. So if they're saying Crazy Egg released an update to their software, if that's the title of the post, that's the title of the page, and TechCrunch appears nowhere in the title of the page.
Exactly.
Why?
And
Why is that
before,
important?
because you're already ranked for TechCrunch, why do you need there to be TechCrunch in every title tag? So by removing it, it makes your title tags look more unique and it makes each page also look a bit more unique.
Okay. You said that I heard you use the word meta a few times. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I added a meta description tag because Google was automatically pulling text from the website, and for some reason, a lot of the text that they're pulling from this website was same on every page, even the post pages. So they weren't really identifying the pages as being as unique as they could. So a lot of them were seen as duplicate, and by adding a unique meta description, it helped make the pages seem more unique because they already were, which helped increase their rankings.
Okay, and I know that a lot of this stuff is basic, but I want to cover the basics in the beginning of the conversation. What about nofollow? You said you removed nofollow from the feed burner links and a few others. Why? What does that mean?
Yep, and one quick thing to go back to the description, if you want to dumb it down even a bit more, I use a plugin called Head Meta Description for TechCrunch, and I pull like the first 25 words from the post as a description. And to go back to your second question, as the nofollow, you're asking what I do with the nofollows, or?
Well, you know what? Let's dumb it down a little bit, and then I promise people we're going to get into the heavier stuff. But what does it mean that you added a nofollow tag to a link?
Sure. So a link text is left arrow thingy A space href equals quotation mark www or http colon slash slash www.techcrunch.com close quotation mark right arrow thingy TechCrunch and then left arrow backslash I believe and then right arrow again, right? So it's just basic HTML for a link code. So what a nofollow is you're telling Google, don't pass juice to this link or ignore it. It's like you can crawl it or but don't really, I'm not passing juice to this, right? So don't follow it ideally. And I believe they do crawl it. I could be wrong, but they're not necessarily counting the link. So what a nofollow is right after the A part, so A space href, you can do an A space rel rel equals quotation mark. No follow, close quotation mark, space, and then the rest of the link code.
But
So,
what it
but
means
that.
is that beyond the details of how to do it, what does it mean? Why would you want to add that? And by the
Yeah, you
way,
can pretty much
June,
just control your.
Loiza, thank you for adding the text to the chat so people can actually see it. He followed what you said and he typed it out.
Perfect. So, the reason you'd want to do it is it's like you can do no follows on pages that are unimportant for you. You can do it to your contact page. You can do it to your privacy policy page, terms of service. You don't care to rank for Mixergy terms of service or Mixergy privacy policy or Mixergy contact on Google, right? People are probably already going to type in Mixergy and just go to your site and find stuff out based on that.
Okay, and TechCrunch was already a major site by the time you worked with them, and what this shows is that even the major sites are missing some of the basics, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like Gawker Median, I can tell you some of their info.
You've worked with Gawker also?
Yeah, like Gizmodo, Lifehacker, and so forth. So on. When we did SEO changes, I only spent like a few hours dealing with them, and their SEO traffic went up by 20%, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're getting millions of visitors a day, 20% is a lot of extra visitors. So,
all right, one other site where, yeah, 20% is a lot for anybody. One other site where I see, where I saw a link back to your personal blog. And Neil, I see links back to your personal blog all over the internet. But one interesting site that I want to bring up is Wine Library. What'd you do for a wine library?
And that was an interesting relationship. So Gary Vaynerchuk, I was working with him and doing a lot of his SEO for Wine Library. It was a while ago, probably like 2 years ago, maybe. And I didn't really know who he was. And I do apologize, Gary. He's an awesome guy. Everyone should check him out if you don't know who he is. And at that time, I was just doing SEO, helping him with more so Wine Library and not necessarily just his blog. So helping out his overall business make more money from the web and get higher Google rankings. And at that time, just doing a lot of stuff, and he was paying me. So what ended up happening is after I got to know him, he was just a cool guy. I'm like, yo, I don't need any money from you. You know, just represent. So he popped up a link. He's promoting me wherever he can, right? And at the same time, I'm just helping him do any free internet marketing stuff with tv.winelibrary.com or some of his other properties, like his personal blog or Please Dress Me, which is his t-shirt site. So whatever he needs help with, he just asks me for free advice, and I just give it to him.
You know, you're someone who I've seen on the internet say about yourself that you're greedy, that you want to make as much money as possible. And here you are working for free for people who can clearly afford to pay top dollar. Does that work? Do you recommend it for somebody who's watching or listening to us right now? Should they look for opportunities to work with people for free? And if they do, who do they spend their time on, and who's a waste of time?
Sure. So a quick thing. I am greedy. I'm probably one of the most greedy people you'll ever meet, right? So what I like doing is think of it this way. Everyone's looking at the short-term money. So when I'm helping out TechCrunch for free or Gary with Wine Library TV for free, I'm still making more money. In the short term, yes, I may not be making money. Like TechCrunch, I could have charged them $20,000 a month, and they would have gladly paid it, right? They didn't bargain with me prices or anything like that when they asked me how much I charge. But the thing is doing stuff for free and having them, because like they're like the voices of the web, right? So all these influencers, they have, you know, tons of followers. By having them scream on the top of their lungs about you and the great stuff you've done for them, that's going to make you a lot more money than if you charge them. So in business, you need to learn who to charge and who not to charge. You never want to charge celebs or A-list bloggers or any of those type of people that can scream at the top of their lungs and do great things for your business. And that was my philosophy. Do a lot of free stuff for well-known people, and in return, they're going to tell their friends. And that's going to help you get a lot of business, right? Like, I helped Guy Kawasaki with his blog, and all I did was just do some SEO stuff. I haven't spent much time. So he said, hey, Neil, I want to introduce you to this, you know, company. Can't name the company, but right away they signed an agreement for $240,000 a year. And it wasn't much work. It was high profit margins. I was probably pocketing, you know, 70-80% of the money on that deal. And all it was is just, you know, helping out Guy Kawasaki for a few hours here and there. So when Guy emails me and says, hey, Neil, can you fix this thing on my blog? I say, sure, I'll fix that thing on your blog. It's only going to take me 5 minutes, right? So
I see. And that's how I found you. A lot of these guys who do have big audiences and big platforms kept talking about you, and I would go check out your website and I'd go find out a little bit more about you. And that's why I wanted to make sure to bring it up, because it seems like you get a lot of your traffic, a lot of your followers from doing free work like that. But how do you get in with these guys? How do you get in with someone like Guy Kawasaki? Do you just send him an email? Do you have a connection somewhere?
No. So most of these people that have a link on their site, it was all random email. So like Guy Kawasaki, it was probably 3-4 years ago. I sent him an email right when he launched his blog, or probably 6 months after. And I'm like, you call yourself a marketer? I'm like, you're not a marketer. Here's everything you're doing wrong, right? So you got to figure out their hot buttons and like just push them. So with Guy, I know he has an ego, nothing wrong with it. Even I have an ego. And with him, he's a marketer, he's well known. And I say, hey, guy, you're screwing up. You don't know how to do X, Y, and Z, right? And he said, hey, why don't you come down to my office and let's talk? So he's like, I disagree or blah, blah, blah. So I went down to his office, and then he pretty much said, after, talking with him for an hour or two, he's like, how much can I pay you to fix this? I'm like, I don't want your money. And I just helped him fix it for free. And then we built a really good relationship. So I still talk with him every once in a while.
Before we continue, I want to just look here at the comments. And Ben Fremmer, going back to what I said about everyone back here has done something shady. Everyone in my bookcase of successful entrepreneurs, he said, "Well, where is it? Sam Walton," he says, "didn't do anything shady. He had a pretty trustworthy past." All right, true, true. Not everybody does. I bet though more people do shady things than we recognize. True or false? You guys can call me out on it in the comments if you disagree with me. And Arenado, thank you for keeping the chat going there with all those comments. All
Yeah,
right.
look at
Oh,
Bill
and one
Gates.
more thing. I still haven't seen a woman who's beaten you at arm wrestling. If anyone
That's
is,
right.
have you ever lost to a woman in arm wrestling at a conference?
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet. Please hold him accountable. If that is true, if anyone has seen him lose to a woman at a conference arm wrestling, please add it to the comments. I can't believe you're doing that. Okay, onto the beef of this interview, what to do. There's an 80-20 rule, right? You spend 20% of your time and you get 80% of the results. When it comes to getting traffic, that's where I think most of us want to be. In the 20% that gets 80% results, and then the rest we can leave for later on when the business is growing. So what are some of the most, let's talk about one of the most important things that people can do to get more traffic to their site.
Sure. So there's quite a few things. One of the things is you can make sure your website code is optimized, right? Let's say you have a blog, such as one of the users in this, hopefully who's listening, is edgehopper.com, and he has a blog. One of the things you want to make sure is you're using the proper title tags, like what we mentioned with TechCrunch, meta descriptions. You want to nofollow unimportant links. You want to make sure the title of your blog posts are either H1 headings or H2 headings. You want to make sure that you have an XML sitemap, right? So your pages can get indexed. It's just all about making sure that your website code is friendly, so then that way you're not stopping the search engine bots from crawling you.
So, is there a place where we can find a checklist of these things? It seems like they're basic. It seems like we should know them, but I don't know that I can write as fast as you just talk there.
Yeah, so you could just do a quick Google search on how to optimize your blog for search engines. I wrote a post on QuickSprout, my blog, on how to make your blog search engine friendly, which actually works out pretty well. And the other thing you can do is, like, if you're a larger company, the chances are it's usually better to spend money and hire a consultant. Like, there's quite a few, right? You can get Tony Adam in LA, or you can get Chris Winfield in New York, right? So there's a lot of consultants that you can actually also go to if you're a bigger site. If you're a blog or you're a small business, a lot of it you can do yourself. But the larger you are, there's a lot more variables. So you want to make sure that you're doing something right and you're not screwing it up.
Okay, and we're gonna get into deeper, tougher stuff, and we'll take questions from people who are listening who want me to answer their specific issues. But let's continue talking about this specific one. Edgehopper, by the way, sent over their website before we got started. That's why we're talking about them. And for anyone who's watching live, I posted a link over to his website. And what you said was change title tags. You and I already talked about that with TechCrunch. Talked about meta tags. We talked about that with TechCrunch also. No follow on important links. We talked about that with TechCrunch, but let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the links that people forget to add no follow tags to that they should?
Yep. Comment buttons. So on your homepage of your blog, usually link to the number of comments so people can go directly to your comments area. No follow that. It doesn't matter for to index that comment area. You're already linking to that post page from the title. You also want to no follow your RSS feed buttons. You don't care if your RSS feeds get indexed, right? If I also no follow my Facebook links, my LinkedIn links, not all external links. Like, if I'm linking to a site, I'll pass juice to them, if it's in a blog post. In many cases, you can also nofollow your blog role. So if it's on every page, you can nofollow them and not pass as much as juice as you may want to them. So
I
it's
see.
just figuring it's figuring out what you feel is important on your website and what you feel isn't important. The unimportant areas, nofollow them. The important areas, keep them.
you've looked at lots of sites, some of them really in depth, where you've looked at their code and you've looked at their traffic numbers. How common are these issues? Are most people already aware of title tags and nofollow tags, or is this something that people aren't as aware as they should be?
They aren't as aware as they should be, and it's always going to be like that, right? The web is so large. 90%+ of the people aren't going to know about this information unless they start really doing research, right? When people create blogs like TechCrunch or Edgehopper, they're creating blogs because they probably want to blog on something or they want to get something out there, not necessarily because they want SEO and optimize for Google.
All right, let's do a poll of one person. If he's still on, June Loiza, I know that you spend a lot of time on your websites. You know him? He's reached out to you a few times.
Yeah, I think I did it. I did an interview with him a few weeks ago. So
yeah, and he said that he met you at one of my events. June, poll of one person. Do you do this stuff on your site? Are you no following links? I know you pay a lot of attention to your site. Is this something you're paying attention to or not? I'd love to hear that. Okay, what about virality when it comes to traffic?
Sure. So virality, you want to do stuff that people are going to talk about, right? So one of the other sites that did a submission was onmymission.com. And on my mission, people can create a profile saying, hey, I'm on my mission, here's all about it, and you can follow me while I'm on my mission. But one thing you can do is, it's like, once you sign up, create a mission page, send it to all your friends. Hey, notify your friends that you're on a mission. Anytime something changes, email them, right? And you can do viral stuff in which you're inviting your friends, and when your friends come on, they can invite other friends that they would feel that would be find this mission useful. So it's all about growing, and if your viral growth rate is, you know, greater than one, it's boom, you're going to get like this explosive growth.
All right. On My Mission is a site for people who are doing missionary work, and what you're saying is anytime somebody takes an action on that site, the founder of the site needs to look for ways to get that user to tell their friends, that they're going on a mission, to tell their friends that they're on the website. Am I right?
Exactly. So it's all about spreading the word. One thing you can use that's really helpful is email scrapers, and it doesn't sound as bad as the term. What it is a user enters in their Hotmail, Gmail username or password, and it pulls up their address book, and it lets them click which people are on their address book that they want to send a message out to. And the cool thing is on your end, you don't store any of the information, so you're not breaching any privacy or laws or anything like that. So,
okay, and June Loiza says, yes, he has no follow links all over the site, thanks to you.
Awesome.
All right, if anyone has a question about virality specific to your website, just add it to the chat, and we can see if we can find a way to make your site a little more viral. Say the site's name and say what it does. And of course, don't forget to tag it Mixergy. That way it'll show up for the rest of us. Okay, let's see what else we've got that we're going to be talking about. What about a big splash? I heard somebody earlier this week ask about the Hollywood launch, the one where everybody finds out about you. How does that relate to getting traffic? What are your opinions on that?
So what I would do is, and I love it, right? When you're creating something, you want to go out with a big bang or a big splash. And by doing that, what ends up happening is it creates this ripple effect, and tons of other people will pick it up and write on it. So if you have a product or a website, you don't want to get on TechCrunch week one, Mashable week two, ReadWrite Web week three. You want everything on the same day so more people on the web see it, and then that causes more people to talk about it, because everyone's going to be like, whoa, if all these people are talking about it, I must see it. Something's really good with it. So you want to go out with a big splash, right? So for example, let's say my site is lofts.com, and I have this rental site and I'm renting out studios or whatnot, let's say New York or wherever it may be. One thing I would do is figure out what's different than all the other rental sites and say, hey, here's my value proposition. Here's what I'm going to provide users a lot more value than any of the other rental sites. Here's what's cool. Here's how it saves them time or more money or something like that, or maybe forecast rental prices and where they're going to go. And, you know, go out with a big splash on the blog sphere and tell all the blogs about it. You know, you could do an embargo, and hopefully it'll get you a lot of buzz.
How hard is it to reach out to these blogs? I've seen startups reach out to one blog and ask them to write a post about them and get no response. And here we're suggesting to Lofts.com and other people who are listening that they should make a big splash and go out and get press on five different blogs and dictate the date that the blogs talk about them. That seems pretty hard.
It's not as hard as it seems. It's building relationships, right? You can get, like, when I first got on TechCrunch, I got on TechCrunch without knowing TechCrunch. I didn't have a link. I never emailed them before. If you actually have a good product or a service, a lot of these bloggers are willing to write on you. You just have to keep in mind that most people that hit them up have shitty products or services that don't provide any value and aren't different from the other 100 competitors that are already in the space. So if you want to get on these sites, create a great product or service, and it's really easy to get in the blogosphere. That's the main thing that you need to get in the blogosphere. It's just pretty much a good product or service.
Do we just email them at the tips address that they always have on their website at the contact information page? Is that enough? Are they paying attention to that?
Somewhat. So one website or one person I would start reading is Chris Winfield from 10E20. I think he did the tweet early on. So he's a PR guy, and one of the things that he taught me, and he's taught a lot of people, is you got to build relationships with people, right? So he would go out to USA Today and places like that, and he would build out relationships and, let's say look for people that write on specific things, and then say, hey, you should check out X, Y, and Z. This would have been really cool for your piece, or you may like this, or this may help you in the future. So building that relationship, then when it comes time for you to try to get buzz for your own company, it makes it really easy. Yes, it does require a lot of groundwork and a lot of time and effort, but it's not that bad. You can probably spend 10 minutes a day doing this, and it may not seem that much, right? Because it's like you probably watch TV for more than 10 minutes a day. And that's a great way to start building the relationships. I think that's much more effective than just trying to go out to bloggers or someone and just being like, hey, write on me, right? Why are they going to do that? But if you send them stories, right, the same theory and principle that he uses for PR agents, you can use that, and I believe he uses it for blogs as well. You can build relationships with the editors or the writers on the blogs, and then when it comes time for you to get on there, you already have that relationship for them. Say, hey, I know Neil. He's giving me some cool stuff. Let me throw him a bone.
You know what I've seen a lot of people do that I didn't know until I started doing these interviews? Whenever I do an interview with someone, I'll get a few requests. Actually, what'll happen is there are a few guys who they'll comment on the post where I where they'll comment on the place where I post the interview, and then they'll go and they'll reach out to the person who I've interviewed and start a conversation, and they'll CC me, and then before I know it, they've got a conversation, a relationship built up with the person who I interviewed, and it's amazing. I didn't think that would ever work.
Exactly. It's like there's a lot of things that can work. You just never know, and you got to try everything out and see what sticks on the wall, right? Throw some food, see what sticks on the wall, and pretty much whatever sticks, just keep on going at it. Whatever doesn't, stop doing it.
All right, let's go back here and see what people have written. Some people have asked for feedback from you on their site. Guys, I can't click over to your website, so just describe them in the comments if you want feedback on them. Like hoodeasy.com says that he has a shop for hoodies where he sells, I guess, hoodies, the sweatshirts. Is there a way for him to use some of what you talked about with virality to sell more sweatshirts?
Yes, yeah, so and I don't know too much about the site, but you could take the model that Threadless did, in which people design hoodies, the community votes on them, and what ends up happening is the most popular hoodies get created and you can sell them, right? That's great because whoever voted on them is probably going to buy one. So it's all about getting really creative. And you can do like a pay it forward model too, right? Buy a hoodie for a friend and they buy a hoodie for a friend and so forth and so on, right? It's just some wacky ideas. And whatever works, keep on doing more of it. Whatever doesn't, stop doing it, right? It's all about A/B testing.
I see. So it seems like it's a lot of brainstorming also, looking around to see what's worked for other people, seeing if it'll work for your company. Also voting. I've been hearing a lot about that the more you could put voting mechanisms into your site, the more people have an incentive to talk about it and to get their friends to come to your site to vote.
Yep,
True? Okay.
because the whole thing. You're totally right on with that. And the cool thing now is with voting and all these mechanisms are people are using the social web like Twitter to get even more votes, which is great for you because that's going to even cause more visitors to your site and more people that are probably going to get engaged in your product or service and buy something from you.
Let's see. PurpleTide.com sent a note asking about a surf. PurpleTide is a surf report, and he wants to know how he can make that more viral. I don't mean to put you on the spot here, so if you don't have a specific answer to any of these, it's fine. We could always come back later or
I would
your
do
time
an
limit.
email. I would do an email, like collect their emails if he already doesn't. So this idea he may already be doing. And what you can do is, it's like anytime there's really great tides or bad tides, send them notifications. You can do some SMS texts and things of that nature, so it goes onto their cell phone, so that way they can get notified, or let's say it's the night before, they can say, "Hey, you gotta, go out tomorrow. The tide's gonna be awesome. Get ready to surf," or something like notify me in advance so they can plan for it.
Okay, let's move on to the next point. And by the way, we've talked about this ahead of time. That's why I know where you're going next. I love that we've got all these notes. Thanks. The next point is social media sites. Sites like Digg, sites like Twitter. I'm using Twitter really well right now. Every time somebody's commenting and asking a question of you, they're promoting this interview to their friends. Thank you guys for doing that. I watch as they use Twitter to chat with us, I'm watching our live numbers go up. So there's one way, but I'd love to hear from you. What else can people do?
Sure. So it's if you're trying to leverage social media, and the best way is to actually get involved in the community. If you want to get on Digg, start becoming a Digg user. Vote on stories, submit stories that you would think would be interesting, not your own, but other people's, right? Comment, interact with other users, get to know the top users. Doing all these things is going to make it so you understand what users on that community like. And then that way, when it comes time for you to try to get on that site and leverage it, you can figure out what you can write or what you can't write, and what's going to do well and what won't do well. And once you've built up relationships with other people, ideally you don't want to submit your own stuff. You want someone else, like another top user or someone else who's active in the community, to push and promote your story. That's usually the best way.
All right, I saw the Wall Street Journal article about you related to Digg, and I used that to promote this interview because attaching the Wall Street Journal to an interview and attaching it to the person who I'm interviewing is going to add credibility, get more people to come. But I've got to be honest and say that in the back of my head, I was saying, if we talk about Digg, it's not going to apply to me. Nobody can use it. It just doesn't. It's too big, and it's gone too far for most of us who aren't in it to use Digg to get traffic. Am I right? Is that a prejudice that I should have?
I would, you're saying it's too big or it's going to be too hard for most of you guys to get traffic?
People who are
I would
listening to this
disagree with
can't use
that.
Digg,
It,
can
yeah, it
they?
may not work for everyone, but if you can, you can get creative and get on Digg. It's a lot of people do, right? I've got a life insurance site on Digg. I've got a drug rehab center on Digg. It's like, come on, if those sites can get on Digg, you can too. Just be creative. Like I said, it may not work for everyone, right? But you can't, if you do get creative enough and you're thinking outside the box, you have a really high chance of getting on there.
All right, let me go back into the comments one more time here. Ustream apparently sees, I've done a few of these live shows, and Ustream finally reached out to me, I think because they see Neil Patel, because you've got a reputation online. Apparently they're following you and they saw that you're on here. Guys, tweet out that we're doing live interview with Neil Patel. We still have a few more minutes. I'm going to see if I could hold him for an hour. It's great for my traffic and it's great for building my brand. So Ustream, tweet out that we're on here live if you can. I want to ask you about the insurance company. How'd you get the insurance company on Digg? Insurance is boring.
Yeah, it was
Digg is
life
cool.
insurance, and I wrote about 19 things you didn't know about death. So things like when a person's decapitated, or when you think that they're dead, they're actually alive for another, I don't know, like 2, 3 seconds or 10 seconds. I forgot the exact minutes or seconds. It's been, I think, a year or two before I wrote that. So it's all about coming with interesting facts, because people are like, oh crap, when I'm talking to someone who just died right then and there, they're actually alive and they may be able to understand me, right? So.
I see. So you use something shocking and entertaining to get traffic for their site. Were they okay with that? Were they hesitant? Did you have to work hard to convince a client to allow you to talk about death in relation to their
Yeah,
product?
Will's life insurance was already related to death. But the thing was, is there was probably 21 or 22 ways, and they removed a few of the ways because they didn't want that on their website. But what you do is you set up an internal page, like a blog or something. You write it on there. That doesn't have to be linked from the homepage. You just link that page to the company's homepage, and that itself should do the trick. So it's passing juice, Google juice, right? Because you're going to get links to that story if you get on Digg, to the rest of the site, which will help rankings. But your normal visitors don't necessarily have to see that story, so it won't really impact your brand too negatively. It was more like humor, right? I don't even know if all the facts were true, because it's like, how do you really know if someone's alive after they're dead? I don't know how to test that. But people liked it. They dug it really well.
All right. Number five on the list of things that we're going to be talking about for do's is create something that's great. I get that a lot, but I'm looking around the internet, and the truth is that Twitter wasn't better than what's that competitor that Kevin Rose invested in? If anyone knows, let me know. But Twitter wasn't the absolute best product. In the early days, it was crashing a lot. Is it really the best products get the most traffic?
No, but he was the first in that space. Twitter was the first of its kind, right? And that name of that other product slipped my mind as well, but I know what you're talking about because I think they closed doors or sold it or something,
Pounce,
right?
that's what it is,
Pounce.
Pounce.
There you go. So, yeah, it didn't even look as good as Pounce. Pounce had a better design or whatnot, right? But Twitter was the first. They had Mindshare. They were the original people in the space. Whether you're crap or worse, at the end of the day, more people are branded with you because they know about your service. You're the one that innovated it, right?
So, Neil, then shouldn't this point be the first in your industry? And I've got to tell you that even if it was be the first in your industry, I've got lots of examples of companies that were first that bombed. Friendster among them.
Yeah, ideally you want to be first and you want to keep on innovating. And that's where people end up screwing up. They think that they're first and nothing's ever going to hurt them. But the problem is when people stop innovating or they get too comfortable, that's when they screw up, right? And what you have to realize is like being second sucks. All it means is if you're second, you're going to be the first one to lose. So it's like, who cares if you're going to be second?
Well, all right, I'm looking through the list here of people that you gave me. Google wasn't first. MySpace was clearly not first and clearly copied Friendster. Twitter was first and innovative. About might have been first. I don't know.
So there's always exceptions. Being second and being the exact same replica, that doesn't work. You can be second, third, even 10th in this space and still be okay as long as you're innovating and providing value, right? Why Google succeeded was, one, it's a more simpler solution than Yahoo or any of the other search engines. And B, which was the most important one, is their results were relevant. If you can say, hey, we're a relevant search engine, everyone else is just providing crappy results, well, we're going to actually provide really relevant results. Yeah, you may be second in the space or third or 10th, you know, because Google wasn't even second. At that point, it's okay because you've innovated and you provided more value. It's the problem of being second in the space is when you're the exact same replica as the first player in the space and you didn't do anything different.
All right. Those are the list of do's, and I'll write them up and put them up on the website. We're going to move on to things that common mistakes that people make so that we can talk about how to avoid them. And some of these, yep. Wow, I see them all the time. But before we move on to that section, I want to talk to you about one of your websites, Crazy Egg. Can you tell people what Crazy Egg is, and then I'll ask you how you use some of these techniques on Crazy Egg?
Sure. So Crazy Egg is a heat map analytics solution. It's more like testing. And what it does is you only test one page at a time. It's not there to replace Google or Omniture or anything like that. Instead, what it's there for is you can test your landing page, your home page, or something. See how people are interacting in a visual fashion. And then you stop the test. You can maybe track 10,000 visits, 50,000, whatever you want. Figure out what sources are converting, what's not, and modify your design based on the feedback that you get from Crazy Egg and try to increase your conversions. So it's testing for the masses.
And what's your revenue model on that?
We charge people to use the product, monthly subscription.
You charge people to use your product and they're paying you to use it.
Yep, anywhere from $10 to $100 a month, and if they get a lot of traffic, you know, sometimes up to $500 a month, if not more.
So what do you say to all these people who say that that you can't charge users online, that people online only want free stuff? Why are you making money from your users where the New York Times wasn't able to do it and other companies weren't able to?
I say they're smoking crack, right? At the end of the day, you can make money if you want to. If the New York Times said on their website, hey, we're not gonna get any or let anyone read our content unless they're paying a fee, they'll probably make a shitload of money on subscriptions. Now that money may not be the same as how much they would make on advertising, right? So you just have to do the math. If it is where you can make more on advertising because you're getting more visits, or if the visits don't matter because you don't know how to make advertising money and you can make more by subscriptions, then you can go the subscription model, right? You just have to figure out how you can make money and what's going to work for your audience.
Is Crazy Egg profitable?
It is.
How profitable? How much money are you guys making? Not top line, bottom line every month?
Enough for me to live off of for a very long time.
For a very long time. If we get one of these women who you arm wrestle at a conference, if one of these women beats you at the next conference, will you whisper to her so she can whisper to us what the profits are?
No.
Even then you won't.
No.
You don't feel confident in your arm wrestling skills?
Nope. I almost lost the last time to, like, I think a 6-footer.
To a woman, to 6 footer.
Yeah, she was like 6 foot or 6 foot 1. I think she had like 60 pounds on me too, or at least what she was telling people, so.
Well, you arm wrestle guys at these conferences.
Yeah, but then they always beat me, so it's like I don't. The funny thing is, when I beat some of the women, a lot of it's like their boyfriends are like, "Oh, you beat my wife," or their husband. So then they don't want to kind of like, "Hey, all right, how about you start arm wrestling me, right?" So it's like, yeah, it's not fun there. I already know you're gonna win.
By the way, Kid Disco pulled out. I love when people pull out quotes from my interviews that I don't catch because I'm too busy doing the interviews. Here's what he Twittered. Kid Disco says, Andrew asks, what do you say to people who can't make money online? Neil Patel response, I say they're smoking crack.
CK's awesome.
That's right. He's from Orange County like you, right?
Yeah, I arm wrestled his girlfriend too, and then he arm wrestled me after, and then he took me. I even used two hands with him, but
Oh, the woman who you arm wrestled just tweeted in to say that you arm wrestled her. This is Tall Chick Vic. That's her.
nice. Yeah.
That's her Twitter handle. Hey, by the way, if you want to add any of the people who are twittering here, the fact that they're even fans of Neil Patel's and know about Mixergy says that you have at least two things in common with them, two powerful things in common with them. Let me show you how to add them on this. All you do is you click on the person's face and then you click follow, and that's it. Is Twitter in a great program or what?
I think it is. It's everyone should check it out. So I had fun using it the other day. I'm
Yeah.
not using it right now, but I should be.
Right, and Ben Fremmer has a really good point. He says he thinks that it's much easier to get money from businesses online with web services than just a general customer, just a general consumer web service. You're right. Businesses are more willing to pay than consumers, right?
I would agree, but you can make money from anyone. The consumers, the masses, right? It's you just got to figure out what's going to appeal to a specific market and charge them.
Icon has Cheeseburger. You work with them. They're profitable?
I can't go into that, but I am a shareholder and I can ask Cheeseburger.
And you're a shareholder because you paid into it, or because you're a consultant and they liked you so much and they wanted to keep you around, so they gave you shares?
They made me advisor, so when they're working out the deal, because they bought it from someone, and then when they're doing it, they're like, "Hey, do you want to be advisor?" And I was like, "Sure." And at that time, I didn't know what Icon S Cheeseburger is, and they bought it. I'm like, "You guys are smoking crack. How can you buy out a site like this on cats, right?" And you know what? It's doing really well now, and it's doing pretty well. So I was like, "Damn, I wish I knew about it, right?" I'm like, "I would have gave you guys some money for it." So.
Icon has Cheeseburger, a website where people look at pictures of cats with these funny captions, and man, they are so good at making themselves viral. That was that
Yeah.
you? Did you help them make the site more viral?
Not necessarily. I helped him more with like organic traffic. The guy that really made him viral is a guy by the name of Ben Hu. And I think he got on Digg for his last name, 'cause like awesome last name, Huh. So Ben, he's the CEO of Icon S Cheeseburger, and he's one of the shareholders as well. And with him, he's the real vision behind Cheeseburger that made it grow, right? He wasn't the founder, the original founder, but he was the one that led it, took it over, bought it out. And what ended up happening is he was the one that expanded on the brand, created other sites like Failblog or Bottom Out, and he really grew that whole property from being, decent to being great.
And
So.
now they've got these new sites that are similar, but that have similar formats but different content. Like, isn't there one on politics?
Yeah, so they have one on politics. I forgot the name, but they got a lot. They even have like one on nostalgia, right? Like old shoes, like, "Oh, check out those Reebok pumps," right? If you were playing basketball back in the day, like, "Damn, I wanted one of those as kids and I didn't get it. I still want one of those Reebok pumps." So it's all, or like they talked about the A-Team band, and that's awesome. Who doesn't like the A-Team band?
There was a band called the A-Team band?
No, A-Team, the TV
Yeah.
show with
Uh-huh.
Mr. T?
Yeah, there was a band?
No, band, B-A-N.
Oh, the van, the A-Team band.
Yeah.
Hey, by the
Yeah,
way,
the
if
black
anyone's
band with the
watching
little
us,
red
if
stripe.
sorry, if anyone's watching us live, can you please link over to Icon Has Cheeseburger? And also, let me give you a couple of people who you've got to follow here if you're watching us live. You've got to follow Ben Fremmer. He's a really smart guy. He made a bunch of great points here live. Kid Disco is getting a lot of retweets here. You should follow him because apparently he's on Twitter all the time and writing interesting things. Another person here, we got another celebrity here in the audience. Your brother-in-law, your business partner, Heaton Shaw, HN Shaw, is listening live, and he retweeted the whole smoking crack line. You guys work together on
Yeah,
everything, right?
we're working together on a new company as well, so Kiss Metrics. But we do everything together.
All right, we'll come back to what's Kissmetrics. Let's now go to more tips for people who are listening to this. Now we're going to talk about the dumb mistakes that websites make. What about message?
So sure. So there was a site, a user I think submitted, iwantmyname.com. I checked out the site. It took me a while to really understand it, but it's like, dude, it took me one, too many clicks, and it's like, people aren't going to stay on too long. If you can't go there and figure out what the site is about for in a few seconds, it's like, what's the point, right? So at the end of the day, if you don't have a clear message on what you're all about or your value proposition or what makes you unique, people aren't going to stick around. And that's probably one of the easiest mistakes on how you're going to lose traffic and not continue to grow.
That you're right. When I first went over, this is iwantmyname.com, one of the sites that submitted themselves and asked you to take a look at them. And you're right. When I first went over to it, it took me a little while to figure out what the site was about.
Yep.
Okay. What about changing the domain?
So there's a lot of companies like reunion.com change your name to mylife.com. I think I thought that was a dumb mistake. I understand from a branding perspective. Smart guy Jeff, the CEO Tinsley. But at the end of the day, it's I'm gonna I'll bet anyone $100, if not $10,000, that they lost a lot of SEO juice just because they changed their name. Yeah, you could do a 301 redirect, but you're still losing a shitload of SEO juice and a lot of traffic just because you changed your name. Especially if you already have hundreds and thousands of people linking to the old domain. It's like, why do you want to rebrand? So.
So you lose link juice just because you've changed your name, there's no way to keep it?
You can 301 redirect is the best way to keep it, but from everything I've experienced, when you change your domain name from something to something else, in many cases your traffic still does go down.
I see. So what do? You just keep the name?
Yeah,
Or you
keep the name,
suffer?
or make sure you think of a good name in the first place. So.
I see. What should I do with Mixergy? Is Mixergy a good name? Should I keep it? Should I change it?
I like it.
You like it? Stick with it?
It's like. Mixers and energy, right? There's a lot of energy at your mixers, so I like it.
Right. I heard through the grapevine, by the way, that you wanted me to tone down some of the energy in the videos and the summaries that I do. Is that
Yes.
right?
Yeah. Did you see my impersonation of you?
No, I didn't. Where'd you do the impersonation of me?
Oh no, that may have been a drunk call.
It was. Do you want to do it here for people who to see it live?
Sure. What was it? Hey everybody, this is Andrew Warner from the Mixer G. Dude, I can't do it right now. It's too early in the morning. You made me wake up early. This interview is like 11 o'clock. You give it to me when I have a few beers in me. I can do an awesome impersonation.
Right, so that's another thing to do. And when you see me alive, if you're a woman, challenge him to arm wrestling. If you're a guy, give him a couple of beers and ask him to do his impression of me. Fair
Yep.
enough? All right, and buy him the drinks because apparently, if you take really good care of Neil Patel, he'll take good care of your website.
That is true. So,
All right, what about Flash? Everybody's now using Flash. I can't see it on my iPhone. What do you think of that?
yeah. So, if you want to do really well, make sure your site is actually readable by the search engines. They claim that they can index Flash and crawl it, but you're still not going to get as much as traffic as the HTML site. So, make sure you have an HTML version. Make sure you have content that's indexable. You have to give them food, so then that way they can rank you, right? Without text, how do they know what terms to place you for on Google? Or Yahoo or whatever it may be. So make sure no matter what, your site is somewhat crawlable. If you want to go with the Flash version, then do it where when a search engine visits your site, you show them an HTML version. You're not doing anything illegal or cloaking or anything like that. It's more so showing them an exact replica of that site, but based in HTML. So that's a good way to still get the search engine traffic and being in Flash at the same time.
You've talked to me about that with my site because it's video heavy, and I think the same is true for our Arnotto site, StartupLucky.com. A lot of sites today are going towards more videos, but you don't like it. Why?
No, it's my whole big problem with that is it's like it just doesn't really help with traffic. Videos are great, but like I always tell you, is you got to do a full transcript. That transcript is what's going to get you a lot more traffic than the video.
A full transcript just so the search engines have some text.
That's right. So I expect my hour interview ran out by you.
There's no money in doing the interviews. To pay somebody to transcribe this and make sure that they catch every curse and every crack reference, I think is going to be expensive. What
It'll get
about
you more
Gary
traffic.
Vaynerchuk? You've worked with his website, Wine Library. We talked about that earlier today. He doesn't do transcripts, and you advise him. You tell him to do transcripts. What's his answer to that?
Gary doesn't have time. That's the biggest problem, right? So what I told Gary is, I'm like, dude, you got a loyal following. Tell your users to make a transcript for you, because you know his users would, right? So he was like, yeah, I could, but I don't know. I'm telling him, and I've been pushing him, and he does agree that having a transcript would help him with this traffic. But I think he's on the whole angle. He's like, hey, I'll wait till the search engines figure it out, and you know, I'll wait for them. And I'm like, you should never wait for them. You should do whatever it takes to get the traffic, because it could take them 5 years. They may say something's going to be out there in a year, but who knows? It may suck, and you still may have to do the transcript.
You know, you've got a good track record, and Gary's supportive of you. But a lot of people are still skeptical, not just of you, but of the kind of marketing that you do online. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of fans. They're here. They're writing. They're engaged in this. But there are a lot of people who are skeptics, including Jason Calacanis, who came here and did an interview on Mixergy. It was great. Got me a lot of traffic just because he was on the site. He was skeptical.
Yeah, a lot of people are skeptical. For some people, they're not going to like it. But at the end of the day, it works. It's not just what I'm doing, it's what people, you know, there's a lot of great people like CK, you know, Kid Disco, who's listening in, or Chris Winfield or Tony Adam. All these guys do this kind of stuff for a living. It works, right? And it's going to take a long time before other people transition. There's not much I can do or say probably to change people's opinion. It's more so it's, hey, when you come around and you see other people in your industry do it, then you're going to have to do it no matter what, right? It's a competitive advantage. And if you don't go along with it, you're going to, you know, lose a lot of revenue. So time is going to tell, and I think more and more people are going to come around as time moves on. So
shouldn't we care more about people and quality of content for people than care about robots? Most people don't want to sit through. We're now almost at an hour. We're going to go longer because I'm going to keep you on as long as I can, because people will keep tweeting about Neil Patel being on Mixergy. But all this stuff, no one's going to sit through an hour and a half of text and read it. It's basically being, if you want me to do a transcript, you don't want me to do it for the people who are watching this, who want to learn from you. You want me to do it for machines, for Google search engines, for Yahoo search engines, right? Isn't that the wrong way to think about business?
It is. I'm not saying just do it for Google or Yahoo. Make sure whatever you're doing provides good information and good value to the user or the listener. And then on top of it, also try to please Google and Yahoo at the same time that you're pleasing the user. I'm not saying go out of your way and just do something for Google and Yahoo that isn't going to help your user. But at the end of the day, I think you can do both, right? What's good for the user, in many cases, is good for the search engines as well. Like, for example, having good, clean title tags, hey, that means when someone's searching Google, your title may be more attractive and they may come to your site. So not only does it help Google or Yahoo, it also helps you by making your pages more attractive.
All right. Hey, by the way, how great is this? This is my first week of live videos. It's still nerve-wracking. I've got so many screens here in front of me. I want to make sure that I'm broadcasting this out live, and that I'm also, this is great, and I'm getting great feedback from people. Oh, I love the people who are writing in. And one of them is Arenado, who says, besides transcripts, what are a couple of other things that video blogs can do? He's got a video blog in startuplucky.com. There are others who are doing this. Besides video, and you've mentioned title tags, what else can people do?
It's tagging, making sure that you tag your videos. It's also about putting in the right keywords, using the right titles for the videos, right? If your videos is on, you know, shoes, just don't title your video post shoes, right? You may want to say Nike's new running shoe called, I don't know, Air Jordan, right? Although that's a basketball shoe, but it's all about being descriptive. Don't make it so you're just popping something up there and people just listen to the video. Make it so people can also find the video or know what the video is about by just reading the title and not really listening to the full video. Ideally, you do want to listen to the full video, but in case they don't, at least they'll know what it's about by reading the title. So.
Okay. And by the way, if anyone wants to hear me get yelled at by Damian Somerset, who edits Ask a Ninja, in that interview that I did with him, he talks about all the different tricks that they do to get traffic for videos. And apparently I don't do enough of them. All right. Let's see what's next on our list to talk about. Creating something unique.
Yep. So like I said before, it's being number two in line just means you're going to be the first loser, right? And that's if you're copying someone exactly. Like, I copied Monster.com with my first business advice monkey. It failed. Why? Because it was an exact replica, and it was a shittier replica than the original version. I didn't do anything unique. If I created something unique, like Simply Hired or something like that, there could be room in this space for me. But if you want to go into a saturated space, make sure you're doing something that's great or something that's different that users really find that solves the pain.
All right, I was gonna challenge you on that a little bit, but you took it out. You took the wind out of my sails. There's nothing I could challenge there. So let me then push back a little bit on. Let's talk about KISS metrics, and then I've got a couple of tough questions there. Can you tell people what KISS metrics is?
Sure, it's a customer development platform. So at the end of the day, people are measuring their traffic, their overall businesses, and visitors, all right? Who's coming to my site? How do I get more of them? You can't really grow your audience and your revenue really without understanding your customers first. So what we try to do is help you understand your customers, things through like getting more data on them, figuring out what's actionable data, more importantly, right? What are they liking? What are they disliking? Why so? We're helping you survey your customers, right? Understand what's making them come back as repeat customers, understanding why customers only come into your website once and never buying, or let's say if someone comes to your site and they exit, hey, there's no harm in serving them, right? The chances are they may never come back again. So understanding them is going to help you build a better business or a product, and then that way you can actually grow your traffic. And if you don't understand your customers, then how can you actually get more of them?
And you partnered up on that business with Heaton Shaw, one of the top business people in this space, I think. Am I right?
Yeah, but
Yes.
you keep in mind he's my business partner and brother-in-law, so I could be a bit biased, but nonetheless, he's an awesome person. I wouldn't be in business with him if I didn't believe that, so.
I did an interview with him. Great guy. He's got a lot of fans of his own, but mostly his fans are in the straight lace business world. How
Yeah.
does he feel about, right? I mean, some of the most impressive names in the internet space are friends with him. I hear he has Thanksgiving with some of them at their house.
Yeah, it's gonna really vary. One, I'm gonna have to go get a stay online. I'm gonna go get a power adapter. I'm trying
Oh,
to
we're
find a
about
damn
to
power
lose your
adapter.
power?
Yeah, I got it. It's gonna be 1 minute.
All right, let's do it. While he's doing that, let's get some more questions. Let's get some more feedback. I'm going to do my best to ask him about as many of these questions as possible. If you want me to ask him about your website, we're about to get to that section of the interview. So just give me the name of your website so that I can mention it and get you some credit. And also tell me what it does because I won't be able to click over while I'm talking to Neil. So if you're watching this thing live, I find that it's helpful to have concrete examples to talk about real websites, not hypothetical sites. Give me your site, tell me what it does, and of course, if you want it to show up, you've got to just tag it with Mixergy. And the more you can tell me in 140 characters, the more you can tell me, the better about your site, and I'll ask him about that. All right, so you're talking about crack. You're cursing here. Oh, can you tilt the computer over so that we just have your wall behind you? Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Can you see me? Everything good?
Yeah,
Lighting?
everything's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, so let's get a little personal here with you and your brother-in-law. Does he ever ask you to tone it down, to cut out the crack references, to stop telling people that you're a spammer or that you're trying to game systems?
No, he's actually pretty chill about it. He lets me do my thing and I let him do his thing, right? That's what makes us work really well as business partners is we're quite a bit different. You don't want a business partner who's the same as you. Because what ends up happening is he'll bring something to the table that I can't bring, and that helps us really gel. So he lets me be how I am, and I let him be how he is. And we have our own ways, right? It's everyone has to figure out their own little niche or how they're going to do business or how they're going to get sales and figure out what works for them and keep on leveraging it. It's what I do has worked for us in my own way. It's helped us make more money. And then what he's done in his own way has also helped us make more money, right? But he can't do what I do, and I can't do what he does. So it's like, you pretty much just be yourself.
So why haven't you guys launched? I do interview after interview here on Mixergy with entrepreneurs who say I got $10 million from investors. They told me I could build the mothership. I built it, but it took me a while to launch. And when I finally launched, the customers didn't like it. I got tons of those. And on the other hand, I have tons of people who come in and say, just launch crap. Guy Kawasaki, who mentioned, came on here and said, don't worry, be crappy. Why aren't you guys launching something crappy and then building from there?
The problem with what we're launching is it's really complicated in the fact that we have a lot of data collection and a lot of data to compute. So we have to get that right before we can launch anything. And if we screw up on that and you just launch, sooner or later you're going to have a big cost problem in which you're collecting so much data because we're already tracking, you know, hundreds of millions of pages
But
every
isn't
month
there a
just
way to
on.
track, to either track less or to track for fewer people or to scale back what you're about to launch?
Yeah, but there is. It's we want people to have the option to get all their data. And what we're pretty much doing is we already fix all our data tracking issues. It's all perfected. Now all we're working on is the front end. And trust me, it's going to end up coming out very soon, within, I would say, 30 to 60 days at the latest. You'll probably see us launching on TechCrunch or Mashable or one of those sites. But with us, it was just a timing thing, and we wanted to make sure we're doing it right. Because if we didn't do the data tracking right, the problem would be is we could track what we're tracking right now, but our costs could be 3-4 times more. And from a business, it's you don't want that. It's better to eat it in the short run by, you know, delaying a few months your launch. You know, maybe in some months, 6 months, right? Or in some cases. And what that ends up doing in the long run, that makes your business grow faster. And you don't have as many problems, right? If you're not burning as much money, you can be more lean.
All right, we got some questions coming in here from people. Let's talk about their sites a little bit. Let's see, who do we have here? Real quick, Arnato's asking a lot of questions, and he's participating a lot, so I want to make sure to bring out his questions here. He wants to know, what does it take to get, was it 20 minutes with Neil Patel? What's the answer? How can people talk to you in person?
Just hit me up. I'm available at conferences, even email. I respond to literally almost everyone that emails me, other than people say, hey, can you blog on my crap? Because in most cases, I don't know them and I don't even want to read it. But the people who just hit me up saying, hey, I got questions or I want some phone time, I give them phone time. I love communicating with people.
If somebody is watching this right here, has a question about what you've talked about, and will send you an email and ask you for phone time, you will give them phone time?
Yes. If everyone here emails me, asks me for phone time, I would give everyone phone time.
What's your email address? Let's get it out there for people.
Neil, N-E-I-L, at Neil, N-E-I-L, Patel, P-A-T-E-L, .com. So it's my name, Neil at neilpatel.com.
Neil at neilpatel.com. All right. Let's see. Who else do we have here?
By the way, if you know who owns patel.com and you can get him to sell it, I will buy it.
Yes. If anyone knows who owns patel.com, please get it to Neil. All right. I'm working on an African social network called Wive.com. What are key points in developing a niche social network? And this is from Sam. So yeah, so more people are now creating communities online, creating social networks online. And those things are so sad when there's nobody in the room, when there's nobody on those websites. What do you do to grow those?
Yeah, so the thing I would end up doing to grow them is figure out what's going to make you unique, right? It's like, why are you different than a Facebook or a MySpace? And if you can figure out something that makes you unique or something that makes you better, then you have a shot at succeeding. One thing you can do if it's a niche African social network, right? Make it exclusive. People may have to vouch for you or make it in groups, right? The thing that Facebook did that now they don't really have anymore is it used to be exclusive for college students only. Now it's open to everyone. I don't really see a social network out there that's really private and exclusive anymore. And I think there's actually room for another private or, you know, exclusive social network out there. So it gets really tricky on how you can actually grow it, because the reality is I don't have the exact answer to that, right? It's if you can figure out something that's unique or something that's great that a Facebook or a Twitter or, you know, some other social network that can provide or that doesn't provide that really helps your users, then cool, you have the answer, right? But I don't have the answer, and if I did, I'd probably be creating it myself. So
I've got to talk to the woman who does community at Ning. I had a conversation with her because I was going to interview her at a conference, and she had a ton of great techniques for that. I've got to remember to ask her for an interview. If I forget, somebody out there remind me, but I'll shoot an email to her next week and see if we could set it up. Let's see. Oh, your brother-in-law is telling people that they should hit you up for free phone time and making sure that they all know that they could get free phone time with you. Let's see. I got a website here.
And you can also hit him up for free phone time as well.
Yeah, please. Somebody try talking to Heaton Shaw and getting free phone time with him. Let me know if that works.
He actually does it, so he's pretty open to it.
He does
he's
it too? Good.
Yeah, he meets up with people too. He does like a lot of stuff for free. So.
Yeah, he did an interview with me when I was a nobody.
I don't know if you're a nobody ever.
I'm no longer a nobody now. I've actually been interviewed on quicksprout.com about my past business success. I don't know if you know that site, but it's very influential. Let's see. What else do we have here? Vent Nation, a social site for venting your frustration, wants to know about getting traffic there. And the reason that I'm bringing them up is because I get emails about sites like this a lot, where people will build up a website, they want user-generated content on the site, and they want some traffic for it. And it's a chicken and egg problem, right? You can't get user-generated content unless you get traffic. You can't get traffic unless there's content there that's interesting. What do you do?
So you have to seed it. For example, if Cheeseburger, I Can Ask Cheeseburger, which is user-generated content, if they decide to launch a new site, they themselves start putting up a lot of the content before you launch it. Why? Because how can you expect other users to contribute if you yourself don't take the time to contribute to it, to the site, right? So the first step is create good content, submit it to your own site, then try to launch it, create some buzz, and then hopefully you'll get other users to participate and also submit content.
Okay, good point. Let's see if people are now helping you with patel.com. Let's see if we can find one or two. Oh, how about this? From Monocat, which is better, Ning or Joomla to control everything? Ning, by the way, is a site that organizes communities online, but it's hosted somewhere else. Ning.com controls it. Joomla, you control it. You control your own community. You have to install it. You have to add your own plugins. What's your feeling on that? Should people just go with Ning the way Seth Godin said when he came here on Mixergy, or should they go with Joomla?
So here's the thing I'll do. If you want some basic stuff, you don't mind if people control it, you want some easy solution, go with Ning. If you don't mind putting in the time and effort into Joomla and you see this going to be a really big community and you want to control it and the features and all that kind of stuff, then go with Joomla. So at the end of the day, it really depends what you want, right? It's like if you're launching a blog, if you don't care, it's a personal blog and you may probably won't change or use many of the features, you can use Blogger. If you want something more custom and you may get more advanced and you may try to make some money off of it, then you would go with WordPress.
All right, I got questions from people who emailed me. Boy, when I said that you were going to come on here, I got way more emails than I thought I would get, and way more sites wanted to be reviewed. Usually people are kind of shy about sites. They ask me, they say, Andrew, can you please get me the person who you're interviewing to review my site, but do it in private, or Andrew, I'm a little uncomfortable releasing it, but with you, people apparently are comfortable sending it out. And I told them I couldn't get to everything, but I said if anyone has anything urgent or is especially anxious, they should ask me and I'll ask you. And Kirby Freeman of Caring.com asked me a couple of questions. Caring.com is a site where, what is Caring.com? It's been a while since I've been on that site. Information about how to care for your elderly parents, I think. Let's see. Yes, elder care and caring resources. Here's a question that he's got. He's got some user-generated content. He's got some good editorial content. How does he get people to go back and forth? How does he get people to go from his editorial stuff to the user-generated content, which isn't as authoritative, but there's more production there? How does he get people to go from, well, back and forth, from one to the other?
Sure. So I'm actually on the site right now, and you're asking how he can get people to do what again?
To go from the user-generated content to the editorial content that they pay for and they create in-house.
I'm not too clear on that question. You're like asking how he can get, well, you just generate content, you would just get your users to submit, right? If you have enough traffic,
I guess let's put it this way. So he's got a forum that's active. People are talking back and forth to each other on the forums. He wants to get the people from the forums to go over to the website. How does he do that? How does he get people who are in that clubby little forum community to go to the website?
So just tie it in more, right? So at the bottom, you can have banners on the forums, or you can have some sidebars. Or at the end of each forum post, you can say, hey, for more information, check out caring.com or whatever it may be. You just got to link them back and forth. You don't want to do it everywhere because it's going to seem a bit too spammy, but you want to do it where it's relevant. So if there's a specific section that's talking about housing or home care or money and legal matters, right, you can link those sections, or like the stickies or a main thread, or like you can do some sort of like alert in that area saying, hey, for more information on this, you should also check out caring.com or our money and legal section in caring.com.
Gotcha. So promotion from both sections back and forth to each other. Where's the next list of questions here? Where is it? Jason from onmymission.com, we talked about his website before, and he wants to know how to get more traffic to his site. Should he go and hand out his business card at local schools? Should he go to businesses in his neighborhood, hand out cards to them, and ask them to give it to their people? I think he's in a place where he's just saying, the site's built, now what? How do you get people to come over?
Sure. So what I would do in his case is, And isn't his site more on missions, like people doing like a religious mission or?
Yes.
Okay, so in that case, I would go to, I'm not too familiar with what religions do missions, but I would find churches and stuff like that do missions and go and hand cards out to them and get that community engaged because usually if someone's going to a church, I'm going to assume that the community is really tight-knit, people like knowing each other, the last names, all that kind of stuff. So if someone goes on a mission, they don't see him for a year or whatever it may be, it would be really cool for other members in that church to follow up with them and see what's going on in the mission.
All right, let's do one more round of questions from people live, and then we'll call it a day. So if you have any more questions about your site, about anything else, about Neil, about his ability to arm wrestle people, just ask it in the comments, and I'll ask him on the interview here. While we're waiting for them to come in, what about Mixergy? You saw the site, the way it's coming up. What do you think I should be doing here on Mixergy?
Mixergy is fine. I think you need to do full transcripts.
Full transcripts, really? You push.
That's right.
You know how much full transcripts cost? You suggest that people who are doing not just Mixergy, but people who are doing video actually pay for transcripts?
One step better. Go to Mechanical Turk and check it out on there and try to post like a description or one of those Elance type of sites, and you can probably get people on pennies on the dollar to do it.
Think it'll be at least 30 to 50 bucks, but it's still worth it.
You're being, I think you can get away for under $10.
Under $10 to do a transcript of a video.
I think so. There must be someone out there hurting for money, dude. I know a chiropractor in San Diego who's getting Harvard graduates that are applying. He had a few resumes for Harvard graduates. It's Dr. David Klein, that was applying for a $10 an hour job, and they went to Harvard.
That's amazing when I hear that. That's kind of sad too when I hear that the economy's at that point. On the other hand, if they work with him, they get all his connections. I happen to know him, and the guy is really generous with his introductions. And it's one of those situations, hopefully, where working for free will lead to something much bigger, or working for cheap will lead to that. Let's see. Hoodizee.com, have you got any thoughts on business models that work when everybody has 50 megabit connections? I don't think that's relevant to us over here. George Hassan is telling me Odesk, $10 for sure to get transcripts. All right, if it costs that much, I'll get a transcript of Neil Patel's interview here. Any other questions here? Let's see. Let's go on to one of the notes that you sent me while the others are
Sure.
coming in. One of the final points that you sent me by email is to not rely on conventional tactics, that biz dev relationships are the best way to grow. So for all the work that you do with search engine optimization, for all the work that you do on social networks like Dig, you still believe that biz dev, business development relationships are the way to go?
Yeah, so here's the thing, all right? With the company ACS, ACS was an internet marketing company, right? So the natural way for us to get clients would be the internet, no? Getting ranked on Google, try to get ranked for search engine optimization, try to get clients that way, right? But we didn't do that. We did that back in the day, like 3, 4 years ago, got penalized and banned and got removed for some of those terms. But it didn't make tons of money off of that. The way we made money was through biz dev relations, such as the TechCrunch deal. Hey, I'll help you out for free. Blast it out to all your friends that what we did and the results Heath and I provided, and that'll help us get more customers, right? That's more evangelism. That kind of stuff, biz dev deals, I'll do something for you and you do something in exchange for me, helps you grow much more. We also had deals like with for Crazy, like Lunar Pages, the hosting company. Instead of trying to for us to go one by one to each website and say, hey, can you sign up for Crazy Egg? Every website on the web has to be hosted somewhere, right? So we went up to the hosting company saying, hey, anytime some user signs up, can you give them a specific Crazy Egg package that we won't give anyone else and it's just tailored for you? And they're like, okay, cool. You're going to do this for free for our users? Yeah. And then we'll upsell them and then we try to make money off of them. So those are biz dev relationships. Growth is much faster through biz dev than I think doing it manually or any other way.
All right. I'm looking here at the feedback, and now everyone is sending me notes telling me where I could get freelancers for cheap, and no questions for you. All right, so let's leave it there. And by the way, guys, yes, I'll try these places. What do you got? Get a freelancer.com and a bunch of other sites. I'll check them out. Thank you, Wive. Is there anything that I missed? Anything that we need to tell people before we end this interview?
So one last thing I want to end with is, Andrew Warner, you yourself need to come out with some sort of subscription, some sort of package just for Mixergy. And I strongly think that people would be willing to pay. Everyone there in the chat room, feel free to tell Andrew if you are willing to pay and let him know how much. And I think you should do something to charge because you're putting in all this time into Mixergy and you're not making any money. I think a lot of people are getting a lot of value, so you should be making money and be rewarded for all your time and effort.
All right, I would like to do that. I'd like to charge for some kind of membership. If you guys have any feedback on how to do that, please send it in the comments or email me. I'd love to hear what you say, and I won't hold it against you. I won't use it to charge you. So send over your feedback to me. Remember, Neil Patel has offered to talk to just about anyone who asks him for some time, except for people who want him to blog about them. His brother-in-law, Heaton Shaw, has agreed to do the same thing through Neil to talk to people one-on-one. And they could check out quicksprout.com, your website, right?
Yep, that's my blog, and then KissMetrics, KissMetrics.com is my new company. That's a customer development solution. So go there and enter in your email. Help us get to, thousands and thousands of emails.
All right, yes, kissmetrics.com. You guys have to subscribe. I'm a subscriber of the email just because I wanted to see what you guys are up to. And I've got to say, until you guys have been spent sending a lot of helpful information, stuff like what we're talking about here, but because it's in text, it's in more detail about how to measure sites, how to grow a business. There's lots of stuff. If you're building a website, even if you have no interest in subscribing or paying KissMetrics in the future, get their newsletters, follow them on Twitter, get their learn from them. I think you guys have a blog too where I'm subscribed. Really helpful stuff. All right, one
Yep,
last thing before
appreciate
I say goodbye. Guys, this has been my first week of doing live videos. I want to do the most useful. This is one of the things that you told me, Neil. Make the interviews useful, useful, useful. You heard some of my first ones and you said, Andrew, you're just listening to people's life stories. Nobody cares about that as much as they care about themselves. Make it useful for them. So I've been trying to do that. I want more feedback. There's a little feedback tab on the side of all of my pages. Click it, give me feedback. I respond to every one of those and let's meet up that way. Neil Patel, thank you for doing this interview with me.
Thank you for having me.
All
So.
right. All right, and there's the interview. Thanks for watching. And now that it's over, I've got a few suggestions for you. First of all, I'd love for you to use one of these techniques. We're not just putting on a show here. We're actually trying to teach you techniques that you can use to grow your business. So go out there and use at least one of these techniques, if not more. Also, check out Neil's various projects. I'll have a list of them up on my site, or you can go to his site, quicksprout.com, and see what he's up to. I'd also love your feedback. As you can see, people are giving me feedback throughout the interview. Now that it's over and I'm posting it, I'd love your feedback about how this came out. Was the sound okay? Was the information we covered okay? Was this what you needed? Did you need other information? Tell me what you're looking for, and we'll do follow-up interviews too where we can get that for you. I guess that's it. Thank you very much, and I'll see you in the comments.